What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You were listening. You were watching the Complex Sneakers Show. As always, I'm with my two co-hosts, my two friends. To my right, Mr. Matt Welty.
Here we are.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Like that. I like this fit.
Thanks.
We'll get to it later, maybe. To my left.
Hey, what's up?
Mr. Brendan Dunn. Always has the textures on. Always has the elevated basics on. Is that what we call it? Elevated basics?
I'll take that.
Get me writing for sense.
You like that? You like the fit as well? Or?
I do. I do like the fit.
Okay. If you don't have the undershirt on with that, though, is it like the...
But I do have the undershirt.
But if you don't...
Don't say the car's topless? Right?
Yes. I'm not going to say the next half of the bar.
No,
but
we're not saying that.
Right there with you, Joe.
Is that an offensive bar?
No.
That's not an offensive
bar. No, not at all.
Is it see-through?
Everything's a little bit see-through, but you put them all together and you can't see
there
shit.
We go.
You got like a Cisco fit going on.
Oh, Cisco. Wow. What an era.
Would he have been on sneaker shopping hair? Back
yes.
in the day?
Yes.
And 1000%.
In high school. In high school. That was the in the Drew Hill album and then Cisco a little later. The Drew Hill album, though. Come on. We know. We know how important that was. Yes. Were you outside for the Drew Hill
album? The Drew Hill album, I was not quite outside by
no?
that point. No?
Were you?
Yes.
Big.
It was very popular, and all the whole DMX connection and all that sort of stuff.
Yep. Speaking of taking it back to high school.
Joe LaPuma.
Can we for a second, Joe?
We can.
Because you're here a new man. You're here walking a little different, carrying your head a little different than you were last week. You got some hardware on the shelf?
I do have some hardware on the shelf.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Bayshore Hall of Fame, fresh off it. Came back here to be with my guys after a night of celebrating.
And the award is for the Bayshore High School Hall of Fame, or the city itself enshrined you in their Hall of Fame?
Did they give you the key to the Bayshore city? High School Alumni Association Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
There will be like a display at the high school when we pull up one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you click. We went through a little tour.
Yes, interactive.
It's interactive. Yeah. You click my name, and then there's a voiceover of my accomplishments. A lot of accomplishments that you guys have helped with.
Come on.
Okay, it was a great night. Brought out the Prada's America Cup.
Always
had to undies them, but it was a great night.
Special shoe for a special night for a special guy.
Thank you so much. I read done my speech before.
It was emotional
and delivering in a little you know.
Did you listen to Tears Flow?
No, but close.
Close.
Close. And here we are. Listen, we have a great guest today, but what are we going to get to today?
I want to talk about those New Balance loafers.
Those
tickle my fancy.
That's such a big Brendan Dunn shoe. Obviously, big news.
Bread ones. Is it the sneaker of the year 2025?
Oh.
Already thinking about 2025.
And Welty's going to go ahead and break the moratorium on the Air Max DN. We'll get some DN talk in here.
And
make people in Beaverton happy.
You didn't really answer a week ago, but I think you're going to talk about some shoes that people were wearing in Paris that you may have seen at the airport.
Yeah, a little bit. There's some sneaker news popping off.
What are you going to lead with?
I wanted to talk about black and red Jordan 1s
there
coming
we
back
go.
Next year.
There we go.
Fitting sneakers.
Bread ones.
40th anniversary. It's only right.
Thanks for reminding me because I have actually had a lot of thoughts about this in my head this morning.
Oh, I would love to hear them.
Yeah.
So we posted it. Z Sneakerhead Z is the one who broke the news. Mm-hmm. We posted it on Instagram. And as always on these things, always go to the comment section.
Really? That's
not
your first
me,
reaction?
But
no. I mean, I'm genuinely curious about what people have to say about
sure.
stuff.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And the top comment, and this is, I feel like, is actually a pretty good discussion, is it said, Sneaker of the Year 2025.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I think it's a really great discussion because, obviously, Bred Jordan 1 coming back is...
Is Joe cracking his neck to get ready for the Sneaker of the Year panel in 2025? Yeah.
Bred 1 coming back may be the most iconic shoe of all time, or most iconic Jordan of all time.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and it's an automatic hit no matter what they do to it. Even if they made a suede version, people would...
Don't tempt Jordan Brand. No. We have to edit that out of this episode. Do not be
careful.
The person who's responsible for a suede remastered fuzzy Bred Jordan
1. And I think that anytime a Bred Jordan 1 comes back, it's great for the sneaker community, great for people to be able to buy it. People get an all-time classic shoe. I know people have even made comments in the past where it's like a Bred Jordan 1 should maybe even get a white-on-white Air Force 1 treatment where it's constant, it's like a forever available.
No. I can walk into any JD Sports and scoop them off the shelves. Joe,
no.
You said no?
No.
Keep them special?
Yes.
Sneaker of the Year 2025. If this is already a lockup for sneaker of the year 2025. Is that kind of like a little disappointing?
It's depressing to me if that's the case. And also, I feel like we're only 4 months into 2024 yes. and we don't yes. know very much
no,
at all
for
about
sure.
what's happening next year.
No, for sure.
I think that there's no world in which that shoe won't be huge. And yes. I'm looking forward to it and I'm going to buy a pair. But I would be depressed to imagine that we're already making up our minds on things like that. I hope that 2025 brings new shoes and
I mean,
things
just,
I've never heard of or dreamt of.
That's what I mean.
Like those prototypes that we were talking about last week.
AIR, yeah. maybe.
Exactly.
Where, but in the world where it's like, it's obviously going to be a big shoe.
Yeah.
But does it, would it bum you out a little bit if it's like the best shoe other the top sneaker of the year is just such a down the middle
obvious.
I think predictability always is not as exciting in definition, you know?
Yeah.
I could see on that panel, Clark, how many pairs Clark going to have? 30? 30 of those? We already stocking up? Clark?
Again, though, I'll buy them for yep. sure. I can't remember if I bought, I think I bought the last pair and ended up reselling them. The amount of Jordan 1s I've worn, it's the same thing with
I love your original 85s.
Yes, that's true.
Beat to
yes,
hell.
Thank you, Joe.
Beat
I have
to
the
hell.
Originals. The
you wore them for
pair.
The Marcus Jordan episode.
Yes.
I love it. Nothing,
thank you.
Nothing better than a beat. Pair of 1985 Jordan 1s.
It might be time to retire them. Maybe I can retire them when we get the 40th anniversary pair next year.
Is there any way that they could mess this up?
Yeah, if they take Welty's advice and do a suede version.
Don't you dare.
But hold on. I'm not saying suede.
The finger put, in his face,
hold on, hold on. they said.
You know when they put the, you put the
yeah,
finger
in? Yeah. So, but in the past, they've done. Remember they did the nylon? Or like the satin, sorry, the satin.
Yeah, satin was good.
But that's
that,
totally different
that
than what they're saying.
But those were also super limited.
But Flyknit was not good.
Flyknit not good.
That era when we were getting every classic Nike shoe remade in Flyknit, we know why they did it, but we didn't need any of that.
Not saying that the shoe was good or bad, but big Tony Mweeshoe, am I right?
Flyknit, black
Royals?
And red, Air Jordan 1. Oh, the Royal.
I think
feel like.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
also
yeah. maybe a big like Marco Negretti shoe.
Okay.
Probably.
Someone in the office, I remember,
yeah.
etched in my brain.
Can't unsee it.
But people seem to like the patent leather ones. It wasn't as definitive
those.
Of a shoe.
No. I like those. It's not a shoe I would have ever purchased, and of course I didn't, but red patent leather Jordan 1s were good to me.
Little old, but we have to give him his flowers. I got my flowers 10 hours ago. Let's give him tiny bit flowers.
This is a pleasant surprise.
Didn't
I don't know
you bring
where we're going.
Up that Yachty's Air Force One seemed like
a bape? Sure, yeah.
You brought that up on last week's episode.
Yeah. Since then, we've
his
seen
ears
a photo.
Must have been ringing because he posted on kind of like his product Instagram.
Yeah.
He posted Nego with the bapes and then him look basically
recreating
the
old photo.
And you,
yeah.
you called it.
I mean, Joe, I appreciate the flowers, but I feel like that's not a incredible insight there.
Not saying that, but I'm saying the fact that like 6 hours later or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like a day, whatever it was.
Must have had it.
That'll take. You know what?
Come on.
If at any point we can remind the people that the things they hear about on this podcast come to fruition in the weeks and the months that follow, if we drop little hints here and there about things that will happen in the sneaker industry and you go back and you do the research and you comb through, that I will take because that does happen on here. And we don't always point it out, but it does happen. So take notes.
I love that. That's a perfect JLP post. If I had a mood board. Remember mood boards? I used to have a mood board.
You know, the AIR shoes, it's basically like a mood board where they feed in 100 images and then they create. Oh.
Still learning. Still learning about the AIR. Look at, he's still educated. I had a mood board, though, on 50th Street Time Life. I don't know if you remember.
Old office.
I remember the Pagal logo T was on
I was in Pagal last week.
That a boy. I have the OG one. I have the OG one. But that Nego... Bapesta, Yachty, Concrete Boy, special makeup. That would be on the 2024 JLB.
Exactly how you're feeling.
I totally forgot about this. Just to say things we talked about on the podcast. Remember we had, and this is the last time I swear I'm going to bring up this shoe.
Oh. Is it the
Air Max?
Irish Reeboks?
Air Max. What? I didn't hear what you said.
Irish Reeboks. I was joking as if we were going to talk about the Irish Reeboks again.
No, but we said.
We're just soul bursting.
We said it's funny.
Yeah, my airburst.
It's funny that I made a comment that the Air Max DN looked like it was a shoe designed by AI for the algorithm. Mm-hmm. And then literally they go and do a whole Air thing designed by AI.
I will put the asterisk on that and say that the shoes from AIR were not designed by AI. They were designed with AI tools And there is a difference.
He tried to get his flower. Wait, you want? Hold on. Someone go get him some flowers. We'll give you some flowers too. He tried it. He tried it.
Also, this is, I'm glad that somebody else other than me is bringing, Joe's checking the fake plants on the set to see if there's any flowers on them. I'm glad somebody other than me is bringing up the DN, because I did suggest a moratorium on the DM, but here we are again. And also, since you opened Pandora's box, you can't spell Pandora without DN or ND. This morning, I saw our friend and former coworker Jinx on his way to grab a matcha.
Oh.
Nike down. What did he have on feet? The Air Max DN.
Okay. I bet he got the fit off too.
Co-signed. Jinx.
Text us the fit pic. You know, I'm sure it was in some black.
He looked good.
Yeah,
he looked good. Course. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, he got the fit off. Probably like a little beanie on the with the matcha. Everything, Jinx. We all know it's calculated. Mm. Yeah.
And I'll also say this felt like a Nike ad in real life that I guess maybe now is transferring to the podcast. But as I was leaving Paris and getting ready to hop in Uber to the airport to Charles de Gaulle. Mm-hmm.
You just throw the little.
That's the airport.
You like that?
CDG.
You can't pronounce Arthur Carr's clothing brand.
I messed that up. Not him. I messed that up.
Thank you. The last shoe I saw on feet on the streets, somebody walked right by the hotel with a pair of DNs on.
Oh.
So maybe they're really real. Maybe they're really out there.
Speaking of, you said you can't spell Pandora without DN.
Mm-hmm.
Can't spell Pandora without Panda.
Yes, this is the sneaker content I
did yesterday.
Did you discover that?
What?
I didn't see that image. So here's
Joe Rogan.
Yes.
Wearing the panda dog.
Now this is not the sneaker content.
It's not. I was with you
in the first. Yeah.
I was with you because I saw that on your Twitter and
when did this happen?
Yesterday, and I thought I would have seen that image before, but like, did you?
No, it was from a podcast they had posted yesterday.
Okay.
So
Welty.
Yeah.
I need from you, right? I'm just going to sit back and we need just like 15 minutes from you because this is your zone.
No.
On what this means, this happened.
I don't think it means
what the ramifications are.
No, we're not. But it's funny because, so he's wearing the shoes and it was to host a 4-hour debate on archaeology. Either way.
Did you watch it?
I watched about an hour.
You had me in the first half. Yeah.
It's good.
Are dinosaurs real or what's the answer?
No, it's not about that.
Oh, no.
His shoes are kind of tight, right? Yeah. And then people are like, oh, he choked them out. They're tied so tight. It's funny because he's the UFC guy and he choked them out.
You're saying he rear naked choked the pandas?
Yeah.
He hit him with the Triple H.
Did he tie up his tightest Triple H?
Nobody in recorded history has tied him as tight as Triple H, but that's okay. Not everybody, you know, it's adaptive fit. It's just like Nike's trying to bring us with the future of footwear.
Cerebral assassin, baby. Cerebral assassin.
Also, Welty, I'm a little bit down. I didn't realize last week when you brought up the Mike Skinner Reeboks that those are already like out there. But I'm just going to say that this is a super duper Brendan Dunn shoe, and I'm putting that in my top five of the year already. Just a super plain Reebok with a cool historical connection and a logo on the window.
Brendan Dunn influenced me. You know why?
Tell me.
These are waiting for me at home.
There we go. Cav Empt. Oh, Air Max 95s.
I always love when
I
search near and far for a 95 that
wherever you are
that fits into the big JLP shoe aesthetic.
Yes.
And I miss some. But
rediscovering shoes that you forgot about.
He gave me the Dwayne Wade to LeBron alley-oop. Recreate that.
CE95s.
Did you end up getting your car?
I haven't bought a pair. That's a shoe that... How much did you pay for them after all the fees and the taxes
not
and the shipping?
Much.
You bought them on the secondary market,
not too much. I don't know how much was retail.
I think retail was around 150 or maybe 175, but that was a super duper on sale shoe, and you could get them for
retail has to be more than 150 on a pair of Max 95.
For the collab pair.
I paid like $90 more.
Okay.
It's very funny though that like I thought for sure you were gonna buy them.
You thought I was gonna beat you to the punch?
Yeah.
Team early or team late because it's a shoe that came out
and then, like,
years ago.
Well, you have just more restraint than me.
If I can be remembered as a person that has more restraint than you, I'll definitely take that. Okay. Sorry, retail price, it looks like, according to StockX, was $200.
I made out.
Like a bandit.
I was actually going to guess that.
Remember those being super on sale?
Yeah.
I like them.
It's one of those shoes that's just like right before its time.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's a little too early because I feel like if those drop now and they had the right push behind them, it would be.
Also, Cap Empt is a brand that people don't really know that much about.
Do you think anyone who bought the Sakai shoes knew what Sakai was?
This is a good point.
Okay.
And that's not,
you're totally right.
That's not hate. It's just like, I feel like brands have convinced people to buy products from collaborators that they have no clue who the collaborator is.
You're totally right about that. That's a fair assessment. Man, that
first Sakai.
Speaking of collaborators that everyone knows, but I feel like this is the moment in sneaker culture where it's like, this is probably going to come back to bite me in the ass because there's going to be some sort of sponsorship opportunity or something like that.
Careful.
Go ahead.
Pringles Crocs.
Oh. You feel what? You're upset about that?
I'm not upset. It's just kind of like
I feel like anytime he says I'm not upset, he is upset.
No. I'm not like raging like bad about it, but it's just like,
do you eat Pringles?
No.
You never got your hand stuck in a can?
I do eat. I've eaten Pringles many a times. I don't
trying to grab the last one at the bottom of the cylinder.
Trying to.
Yeah,
exit he out the overly processed foods. But,
okay, I salute that.
But wait, so not into them.
Just is it like one step too far into the like sort of like quirky fun shoes where it's like I feel like there's a line on that sort of stuff where you're like it hits and you're like this is fun, this is interesting,
it's funny, it's irreverent, it's playful, it doesn't have to be serious sneaker nerd culture stuff.
I'm totally into that.
Yes,
like the Crocs cowboy boots to me are awesome. Just because
did Jillian get a pair? Did our producer Jillian get a pair?
Well, yes, she does.
Sure. Jillian got a pair them. And she made them look great.
Come those on are those are awesome. It's just like this one is like,
went too far.
Well, not to bring it back to Bayshore, not last yesterday's trip. A few weeks ago, I was
back home
walking Long Island. The track. When I tell you, someone had their Crocs in sport mode, literally sprinting in Crocs.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No. I put that person in the Bayshore High School Hall of Fame.
That's true.
Sicko was on the track pumping out 800s in their Crocs. Sport mode.
I almost took a video sprinting, not one sprint, sprinting sport mode. You know who told me about sport mode?
Action Bronson.
Gideon.
Okay.
Classic Croc moment, but sprinting, and I'm like, I always look at the footwear just to Crocs sport mode.
That's
little
absurd.
Aside. I don't know how you do it. Crocs are everywhere. No Pringles for your birthday? Pringles Croc?
No.
We'll stick to the newbies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of New Balances, the Snowfers? I think Jacob Gallagher, a guy who writes for Wall Street Journal, coined that term, and that was the first time I saw that portmanteau, the sneaker loafers, the 1906s.
Yeah, those are nice.
I want those. I want those back. Welty, I messed it up last time. Make sure that I got it right. It's 1906?
1906.
I love that shoe. Joe, did you see it?
Can you put in the good word for the Joe Fresh Goods, the other colorway?
You can ask him.
Joe's whispering to Welty.
Are they releasing any other stores?
Why are you whispering?
Joe needs the Joe's.
Joe
Fresh for Joe.
I'm not doing that.
Begging I'll do publicly it for shoes.
Are they releasing any other stores?
What are you doing?
I had to take Joseph, a flight to Chicago.
Joseph Robinson.
If Joe LaPuma wants to buy your shoes.
The government?
If you're watching this. He puts his government out there. It's not a secret.
Okay. For some sneaker collaborators, it is.
Oh, yeah. This guy.
One sneaker collaborator got very mad at us for that.
From one Joe to another Joe. If you got the Skepta colorway of the 2000s.
You're not going
to
get it for him if you call it the Skepta colorway.
Can you call it the Skepta colorway on the pod?
I know, but not in this moment to appeal to him.
What shoe were you just talking about before I did my own? 1906?
The loafers, yeah. New Balances with the drop top with no laces.
No, but I'm happy you brought this up.
Is that nasty?
No.
Can I do that?
This is your shoe, dude. This is your shoe.
Wide khakis?
Oh, thank you. This is his shoe.
Let me just wait.
Forget
paint
wide
the picture.
Khakis. Forget
no
wide
AI wait,
no,
needed.
Wait, no.
Khakis,
I think,
khakis with no underwear?
I think it's a...
what?
That's the Rick Ross. He's referencing Rick Ross. No, I think this is a summer suit with him. Seriously. I think
I will
he could
have
pull
underwear on.
A summer suit with those... Loafers.
Socks or no socks?
Definitely.
Socks.
You know, they tried to say, oh, loafers are taking over. Do loafers have to come to the sneaker community, though?
How about that?
You know?
I know who you're talking
about. ISO.
That is a good take.
Wasn't there a few years where they were saying, oh, loafers are taking over and sneakers? I don't know. Did the loafers come over to the sneaker you know game? We're still here.
No, it's hilarious.
We've been here.
It's hilarious because
I'm trying to get you riled up. I'm making a friendly joke.
No, I know, but I'm
you
saying.
You know what I mean?
It's funny though because there was a whole conversation, and I even saw it online in the past like few months though, where people are saying that sneakers are dead. Remember, like there's been a lot of that going on, which is stupid.
Yeah,
but. The conversation was sneakers are dead because people have moved on to other types of footwear, meaning like loafers or boots
Crocs?
Or whatever.
Crocs, yeah.
But it's such a I'm just gonna say dumb conversation because the percentage of the people who are actually getting out of sneakers and getting into like hard bottom shoes and loafers and all that sort of stuff is like 0.05% at the most. Of the sneaker collectors.
We're still here.
Yes. It's like the majority of people who are into sneakers have not shifted on to grown-up footwear.
We're not going anywhere.
Nope. So that whole conversation of people are not going to wear sneakers anymore because they discovered lace-up boots.
Literally, you need more people?
Yes. Literally.
Take it back to takeover, just like last week.
Mm. Yep.
You know?
We'll see who's winning the war.
Sneakers always win.
And listen, the comments will be out over your take about
what?
About when we brought it back to the bullpen where you said that the Drake line is null and void because it's not factual. And our man Donnie Kwok said exactly what he said.
Thank you, Donnie.
Was Jay-Z being facetious when he said?
Little person, I got money stacks bigger than you.
Can I get a Jada Kiss laugh just for good measure? There we go.
Not my best.
That one was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
I put him on the spot.
That was pretty bad.
Now that we've handled all the most important and pressing topics in sneakers this week, we do have, speaking of sneakers still being here, speaking of a man who still loves this stuff, man who's put in decades, we got a great guest today.
A lot of history. Let's get to it. Our guest on today's podcast went from interning at Nike to designing sneakers for some of the world's greatest athletes for over 20 years. A short list of notable names he worked with includes Pippen, Barkley, Payton, Durant, and LeBron. Some of your favorite signature sneakers? Yeah, he was cooking up during his tenure. His work comes from what some consider the peak era of Nike basketball. He's a true shoe dog with endless stories, and we're excited for him to share some of those stories today. Please welcome to the show, Aaron Cooper. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. So much history. It's good because I feel like a couple weeks ago, that's when like your name, you know, your name is always in the mix for
every sneaker. Sunday. His name is in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm waiting for what?
No, the Shaq and AI
episode. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Iverson signature sneaker. Want to get right into it?
We're not going to wait till like a Sunday from in the future.
We can go to the future. We can go to the past. We can go. Actually, we should start with the footwear we're wearing right now.
Okay. Then we'll come back to it.
What do you have on feet, Aaron?
I have on something I'm actually working on with a local brand out of Portland called Portland Gear. I don't know if you know Portland Gear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a super, I don't know him.
Amazing, super cool brand, and we're trying to break out of state boundaries. They have an amazing backpack that's doing that. And we want to take the insights that of lifestyle in Portland and kind of bring them out to the rest of the world because people like comfort, people like performance. So this is like... just a chill, you know, product that you can wear around the house, but then it's super comfortable and it's, has an amazing footbed to it.
Hit the airport in them.
Yeah. So we're doing this in a 3-strap sandal and then there's going to be iterations.
I thought you said 3-stripe for a second. I was like, whoa, did you change size on?
No, but, nice. But yeah, this is something that one of the many things I'm doing. These will drop in a couple months, I hope.
Have you ever worn an Adidas shoe in your life?
Oh, for sure. Growing up, my last story about the duct tape. I don't know if you read the duct tape soccer shoes. Those were Adidas hand me downs. Sambas. I played indoor soccer.
Yeah.
I have a couple misses in my life. One of them was a few years ago after leaving Nike. I was like, you know what? I did the Vans. I don't know if you saw those.
Yeah. Saw that.
So the blue Custom white, those pair, were what I raced in. And actually, that's my. I wore everything. I like stories, right? That's my thing. It's the stories that matter. So my t-shirt, the Bike Factory, this is from Hawaii. Going to go see. Did you ever know the Bike Factory up in Bellevue, Washington?
No, I've spent some time in Bellevue, but mostly at the Maiden Bower Center.
Driving, so my daughter plays, Sophia plays volleyball for Hawaii Pacific in Honolulu. We're actually going there tomorrow. And I'm driving down to go, first time to go see her. And there's a bike shop. It says Bike Factory. in this, like this lettering. And I'm like, I haven't seen that in forever. There's no way that's the same store.
That you knew from growing up?
Yeah. But it's just, it looked exactly the same. So I have to go in there, talk to him. Long story short, it's the same owner, and told him that I used to race. They actually sponsored me for a bit. And he gave me this shirt, and I'm like, that is the sickest thing ever. So I figured if we were going to talk about past and who I am and what, you know, yeah, this is me as a person, and this is what, you know, this is my sport, BMX racing.
The
and,
foundation.
Yeah. So, so that was, you know what, now I'm, you're going to see them go all over the place.
Okay. That's exactly guys, where we got.
You got to like bring me back in.
You're based in Portland?
Yes.
How's this guy's card in Portland? Is he allowed? How's his standing in Portland? How's his standing? Is he allowed to be outside or freely? Chain untucked and everything?
I mean, look at him. He's like a perfect picture. So, yes.
He doesn't have to check in with
I don't know about Portland's good, but I don't know about U of O. I don't think they let him on campus
I'm
anymore.
Great there. I'm great everywhere.
Yeah, he's great.
Speaking of going all over, this is a shoe in reference to my recent Paris trip, because this is a Paperboy Paris collaboration, a sandwich shop out there. So I brought out the Reebok.
Did you just get him?
Connection to those. No, I've had him for a little bit.
Okay.
Still looking crispy,
Complex
though, right?
Complex exclusive, right?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Pink Paris, a little bit of pink in there.
Because you were just in Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
did you wear him there?
No, I didn't. Oh. But I was inspired upon my return. And here we are. Joe, you got a little bit of pink sprinkled in?
Pegasus 2K5.
Nice.
Wore them on the Shaq and AI episode that we will get to. Not about me, about you, though, because there's a story there. But
there's always a story.
Finally, doing the New Balance 991 V2. I know I said that this was my favorite shoe of last year, but this is my first time actually wearing them. Shout out to good folks at New Balance sending these my way.
All right. UnDS for AC?
Big moment.
Yep.
Oh, I remember where I was going. So you asked me about the three stripes. So the miss that I had was that after leaving Nike, I was going to go get some Sambas because I played indoor soccer.
Yeah.
I just didn't act on it. And then now years later, it's like the cool shoe.
Yeah.
That would have been the cool dad wearing the,
you
know, the shoes that weren't hitting yet.
Yeah. You could have been a little bit ahead of the curve.
Right.
Yeah. But then you would have like kind of been lumped in with just everyone wearing Sambas, right?
I would have stopped.
There he goes. Like, he would have been a little early.
I like to zig when others are zagging.
There we go. The trend shows up, you're out of there.
Yeah.
There we go.
Or I put it in the closet and wait for a few more years.
Yeah, remind him. He does that a
lot. This guy does that a lot.
I like that move.
Puts it on ice.
Yeah. That's why I try to stay fit. You just keep the closet, you know.
Yes.
Then you don't have to go out and, you know, buy new stuff. You just wait till it circles back again.
There we go. Aaron, can you tell us about your entry point into Nike in the early 90s?
Yeah. So I went an industrial designer by education. Went to the Art Center College of Design, and then wanted to do two internships. And longer story there of how I found out about Nike, but I've been an athlete, you know, all my life, and just like playing and never, only BMX was my kind of sport that I played like competitively.
Mm-hmm.
But being an athlete all my life in design, and Nike seemed like a good place to at least look into, but they didn't offer internships at the time. So in fact, my school said, you know, don't bother. And if you were to ask my mom or dad, you know, how to get me to do something, it's tell me you can't do it.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I was the first footwear design intern at Nike.
Wow.
How hard was it to get the gig? Were you mailing them a bunch?
Oh, that's a great question. Did you see mailing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I did have, there was no email.
You had
so
to,
I did
you
have
had to
like
the envelope, throw a stamp on there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about cold calls. I believe that we're all connected 2 or 3 degrees from each other,
mm-hmm.
in the whole world. You just have to, it might take you a lifetime to figure out, mm-hmm. who those 2 or 3 people are. I've actually had tea with now King Charles, but so that's my craziest.
The King of England?
Yeah. Wow. He was the prince at the time.
But it's still pretty impressive.
But I'm two people, well now one person removed from him.
Yeah, now I'm two people because we're
100%
close friends.
No, exactly.
There
not
we
that
go.
I can get you to King Charles, but I can get you to one person from King Charles.
Sounds good.
Maybe Sir Charles.
Yes.
Actually, funny enough, I might have an easier time getting to King Charles now than
than Barkley.
He's pretty. I don't know. Maybe you guys.
I can't. I've been trying to get him on sneaker shopping forever.
That's a challenge. I'm gonna have been to work on that. Is that your number one?
He's up there. We've been chasing him for.
Who's number one on the list?
Seinfeld.
Not Travis Scott.
Seinfeld.
Really?
Yeah. Because Seinfeld during the sitcom would wear all classic Nikes, and also comedians on the show so quick.
I'm surprised you don't have connections in Nike Hollywood. And
we've been trying. We've been trying, but I actually interviewed Seinfeld with Wale for a cover about sneakers, and but he hasn't done my show. But yeah, that's number one. I say that a lot.
But as a design intern, do you remember the first time you met Tinker Hatfield and what that was like?
I do, but it wasn't just the guy that worked. It wasn't like down the hall.
Like, it wasn't like any sort of like, no?
No, that's never... It's never been, I mean, I even brought, I thought maybe you guys might ask me what my favorite, one of my favorite shoes, and so I brought one, but it's never, I mean, it was 94, you know, we didn't know what we were building. People ask me all the time, like, what made Nike basketball so special the 10 years that I was there, and I always say, I knew my role was to go to work and to design some of the shoes, but my responsibility was much bigger, is that to, you know, grow the culture of the game with the rest of the people that I work with. And that was underneath the umbrella of growing the culture of sport. And that's why I did it. So like Tinker was just another one that we were just trying to grow the culture of sport. And I actually just stumbled on some footage. You know, I was in New York and we would come out here and just go, just meet with people, talk with people, bring shoes, call them conversation pieces.
Yeah.
Any kid, even today, but back then as well, like you put a shoe in front of a bunch of basketball players and it's a basketball shoe, you put it on a table and just shut your mouth. Like eventually someone probably in about a half a second is going to say something and somebody else is going to say something. You just sit back and listen and just take it all in. And we, you know, stumbled across a video of that from 1995.
Wow.
And you know who's in the video? I just screenshot it and sent it to him. Bobito.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So sick.
What were the shoes that were on the table?
I don't want to say, but there was the Indestruct, the Shake.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Bobito would mind if I said this. He was like, yeah, I'm not feeling those. But he was a baller. Like he was.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I don't think they're kind of bulky and kind of big. Like he was all about the game and, you know, he's a quick player.
You know, you said that like it was just, you know, meeting Tinker was like, you know, we're here solving a problem. But I do have to ask, working with so many athletes on such an important part of their, you know, footwear career, was there one that you were like, they walked in the room and you felt it? That stands out?
Again, I didn't like a few athletes told me that one is one thing that they really appreciated about me working with them is that I'd sit down and design a shoe with any one of you guys the same as a high school kid as LeBron or Serena or Scotty or who didn't. It's a process to me and it's fun and it's Barkley was the only one that didn't. He's like, look, you're not going to tell me how to play basketball. I'm not going to tell you how to design a shoe. So just make it cool. And
he didn't have any feedback?
No.
Did that make your job harder or easier?
Neither, just not as much fun.
Yeah.
He didn't have any like input though, like when he asked you, like told you what he wanted out of the shoe, like, hey, I need. Nope.
Do you like that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I love the engagement. Serena probably was the one that I was told before I met her because she'd been with Nike for so long, you know, not to expect too much from her. She doesn't really like, you know, talking. She likes apparel. Mm-hmm. She likes the fashion side, but the performance side, not really into it. Either I changed her mind, I got her to kind of play differently, but. She was amazing. She was awesome. But I got her to, I try to explain to athletes, like for me, so good design is form following function, right? Well, not right, because a lot of people don't understand that. I think we've gotten too far into styling.
Okay.
In fact, even, I know Virgil had mentioned that to someone that he felt like he was more of a footwear stylist. And it was Nike that brought the performance and he kind of like helped style like what it became. And so that blend of form and function, art and science, if there's an imbalance in either one of them, then it's not good design. So you have to have, there is no performance of that style. Like nobody's going to buy it unless it's a piece of equipment. And then there, if you have all style and no performance, you might hit on a trend, but it'll die eventually.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean that much.
And there's no story to it. So working with Serena, talking with her, trying to explain to her about, like in the industry, people give me a hard time about caring too much about the millimeters. They're like, oh, in fact, I just had lunch with a friend of mine. She she was the very top of Pao Chen, the factory.
Okay.
I worked with her when she was a developer and she worked all the way up. Sybil Wu, she's amazing. And we were joking about how I would fuss over like literally millimeters of the shoe. And they'd go off and kind of work in the developers that were underneath her when she became a manager would get all upset. They're like, you know, because I was nuancing every little thing and not happy with any of it. And she'd have to come back and she's like, really, do you need to? And I'm like, yes, like the millimeters matter because you only have so many millimeters to play with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that they're doing the right things. And so helping Serena understand that the millimeters equate to milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Kobe, I think, was one. Well, I don't think, I know. When he came to Nike, he was like, look good, feel good, play good. Like, just make a cool shoe and I'll play in it and it'll be great. You know, by the time, unfortunately, that we lost him, he was the biggest preacher of performance and the millimeters. And, you know, he would nuance every, you know, you sure you need that? Like, how are we going to make sure that this does this? And
you always hear that from people like Eric Abar, that Kobe was on the opposite end of the spectrum of a Charles Barkley, where he was more involved than anybody else and wanted more input on the shoes he was making. Was that a real thing in your experience?
100%.
Yeah.
And it was Eric and, I'll say mostly Eric, it was his relationship with Kobe that drove that grew that. And Kobe was the one that helped kind of break down what a basketball shoe was meant to be. Like, you know, before it was a lot of high tops, maybe you could get down to like a 5/8, I think we call it. Then it was a 3/4 or whatever. And it, you know, Jason Kidd wore a low top for a minute.
Mike Bibby.
Bibby did, yeah. Then Steve Nash with the Jet Flight. And so there were pieces out there that were happening, but not like a full movement. And I think Kobe was the one that broke that down. So in terms of like athletes that would come into a room that would demand, like, you know, Kobe, Serena, obviously MJ, but.
Interrupting with the MJ thing, we were talking about this. Like, what exactly did you work on with MJ?
Me?
Yeah, because you know, there's articles that have headlines about you that you worked with MJ. We weren't sure.
Perfect. Let's set the record straight.
Yes. Did you ever?
Nothing.
Okay. But there
at least I'm trying to think.
There are articles because I was talking to him before and it says like who worked with all the names, LeBron and MJ. And we weren't sure. So glad like setting.
You got to forward me that article.
I will. Somebody's not
doing
their,
somebody's not even doing their like immediate Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, maybe there was a story that got out there because I used to travel. I mean, I guess. I try to be literal, maybe two for sure, maybe three times with Tinker. So he and I would go to Chicago together. We would go meet with Michael. I'd learn from him. We'd then go meet with Scotty. He'd learn from me. No, I'm kidding. but we would just feed off each other. And so maybe that's what got misconstrued.
Maybe.
Yeah. Of the athletes you worked with in your decades at Nike, was there one that you felt like you had a particularly close relationship with?
I mean, the longest was with Scotty. I like to think even with my bald head now, like if I yelled at him from across the street, he'd give me a big, you know, smile and, you know, what's up, Coop, and could walk across the street. But I think most, I mean, honestly, the people understand that about Nike. It wasn't just innovative footwear. It's not just innovative footwear. It's like they innovate at every level. Sports marketing is one of them. Like they know who's Nike. They know who matches that brand. Very seldom do you have an athlete that comes in and you're like, that doesn't really feel right. And they don't work well with the brand. In fact, I can't even think of one right now, but so all the athletes that I worked with were amazing.
Yeah. I'm curious about Scotty because I know you designed some of his shoes and it's like early on his first shoe, you have the full air bubble on it. And then he said he didn't like the air bubble. What happened there? Like, what was the story behind that?
Yeah, that was crazy because he, you know, he was playing in the more up tempo, the full length and loving it. And so when I was working on his first one, that was the technology we were going to use because he loved it. And then I was working on the design based on what I had heard internally from sports marketing, things I had read. I was going to go out and meet with him and kind of walk him through the design. And we're sitting, you know, this close. And I think they had just lost. And so Phil would kick their ass whenever they would lose. And so he's a super chilled person to begin with. But he was extra chill because he was worn out from practice. Mm. And so even that was hard. There was like no energy in the room. First time I'd ever met him. It was just this, like, not, I don't think he was a junior sports marketing guy, but he wasn't like the main guy. Because everything was supposed to go just fine. Like, I'll just go talk to Scotty. Everything's going to be great. I go through these boards because I would tell my stories in 11 by 17 boards. And I'm flipping through them and I get to, I think it was the third board with a color copy to a full length airbag and explained to him like, this is the technology we're going to use. Cause you have, and before I could even get through, like, cause you love it. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I don't want that. And then basically in even more low, he was like, yeah, I don't want that. And I'm like, what?
And had the decision already been made in Beaverton that was going to be used on the shoe or did you have room to pivot?
Oh yeah. No, it was It was pretty much done.
It was locked in.
Yeah. And I literally had no idea where to go with that. So
yes, I kind of stumbled Pippen, through it. We'll exactly. take your feedback. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So we kind of stumbled through it. We made him the shoe, but it was Michael that really, cause he had just gotten Zoom Air.
Yeah.
And he was the one that was, suggesting to Scotty that he should get out of that bubble. Like, this is the new greatest thing. And so, yeah, that was we kind of worked through that one.
Interesting.
And you ended up making him like on court shoe though that had the full Zoom.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah. Just took the bubble out and put an encapsulated Zoom Air bag in it. People like, I think it would be cool if Nike ever did
to like re-release it like whatever, that version.
Yeah. That would be cool. I think that would be cool. But
I know you didn't design the Morup Tempo. That was Wilson Smith, like as the official name on the shoe. Yeah. But what was it like working on that shoe and it becoming one of the more iconic pieces of Nike basketball history?
Well, yeah. So I helped Wilson back then. I was doing a lot of my own designs that I had briefs for, but also helping other designers finish theirs. And I'd often go over to Asia, and they'd trust me to put kind of final details on and finish the millimeters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so those were two shoes that I worked with Wilson on. And then I was there for when that whole idea came around, because it was back when, corporate was like, we got to bring more attention to the airbags. And we're like, geez, really? So somebody basically, David Bond drew in marketing, drew on a napkin and just wrote out the word air. And we like with arrows to the airbags.
As literal as possible.
He was like,
is this enough? Yeah.
And it kind of was joked about it internally, but then at the same time, we're kind of like, that'd be pretty fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that's like, that's the other thing about, sports are fun, right? And footwear's got to embody sport. So footwear's got to be fun. And, again, it's the balance of performance and style. So you have to, find that blend, but there's got to be some fun element to it. So that was a good one to work on.
How do you feel about the Cactus Plant Air Force Ones with like the takeoff of that, and even more so the Ambush re-release?
So the culture piece that's permeated deep, like more and more, the collab thing, all those things that are going into it, it's a little bit tough for me.
Okay.
Because sometimes I think it feels too easy, maybe. I don't know, like too obvious. Mm. I mean, I'm gonna tell you what, Tinker, maybe the most famous one, will be even more famous after the Olympics. The Max One with the Pompidou Center Paris. And they're going to do a big thing. And that's just Tinker pulling inspiration from, like, we're just sponges. We're all sponges, right?
Yeah.
Like, just soaking up things around the world. I think the world wants to know what we each individually have to offer and what other individuals in the world have to offer. And so when you're working on something, I want to know what, and I think other people want to know what you have, like, what does Nike have to offer? And what does the designer have to offer? As opposed to when you just put a collab, like a name or a thing
on
or whatever,
an existing shoe, like change the colorway,
mash it up, and here you go. And it's like, it's cool for a second, but there's no for me, it's the stories that matter. Say it on my Instagram.
Is it weird then to some extent where like this new generation of like sneakerhead consumers, they almost have this feeling that those artists would have more creative power within Nike to actually design the shoes than the actual designers who are coming up with the ideas?
I left at the beginning of it, like when things were really kind of popping on that. The first Kicks magazine, right? Like that's, and I have basically my little brother, who's an uncle to my kids. I mean, we're not related, but he wrote me a letter from that magazine. And when he was in the 7th grade, and now he's Chad Troyer. He works for Brand Jordan. Like that's what I think is important. Not the, hey, here's the designer, did this shoe and let's elevate the designer. And it's all about the designer. And that, I don't know, it's more about like, how do you tell those stories so that it inspires the next generation to do what we're all doing?
Yeah.
That's what I think is important. And that's what kind of bums me out that doesn't get told. And I've been told by some of these influencers that, just like the athletes, that they loved working with Nike and the process and getting into it. And like, that's the story that people want to hear, but for some reason, it's just not getting out there.
I know I keep bringing it up. Shoes getting passed around from athlete to athlete, your designs, and basically setting out maybe to do a shoe for one baller and then it doesn't work out for whatever reason and it gets to someone else. Iverson's signature shoe, I think that you commented it ended up being Damon Stoudemire's shoe.
He was like the face for it.
Yeah. Okay.
So like the signature shoe, but
what do you remember about that situation?
So Alan, I don't even know when he, like where he was and what, I think we were like, different companies recording them.
Yeah, I think it was, it must have been around 94.
Sure.
Yes, it was before even like the signature thing was happening, right? Like,
and
I think Nike was trying to figure out, like, hey, we have Jordan. Yeah. I don't think brand Jordan had started yet.
Not yet, yeah.
And so, like, what is this thing we're doing? You know, yeah, Dion.
Yeah.
Trying to think what other signature shoes Barkley had.
At that point, yeah.
But there wasn't really. So Nike's trying to figure out the formula, right? And so here comes this Phenom, you know, Allen Iverson, and super inspiring on the court, super inspiring off the court. Like who wouldn't want to design a shoe for him? And so using him as, and I didn't get to meet him before I, you know, was given the brief, like, hey, if we're going to sign Allen, what would the shoe look like? How would it perform? And so design, you know, that was my brief to design that, and just thinking about how he played on the court, you know, how he was off the court and trying to come up with something similar to the Scotty deal was, the idea would be that then I would go out, like at least have something to put on the table. Like, hey, here's what we think.
Yeah.
And then have the conversation and maybe it would get steered somewhere completely different or they might, you know, might've fallen in love with it. But it was at that point, you know, then Reebok signs him and that's that, but the shoe's designed, everybody loves it. And it's like, okay, now what are we going to do with it? Mm. So that bums me out. It's kind of the probably the biggest one is the Chris Webber, the Super CB. Like, and you got to look at my Instagram story. It's one of my favorite ones.
Because, yeah, you have to tell that story. I love the story.
Yeah, we were talking about it before you
came. It makes me laugh. So originally designing that shoe for Chris Webber, and in my Instagram, I even have the board. Like that first image with Chris Webber coming over the rim. That was the presentation board I had in the boardroom and you know, in our presenting to, I think, Mark Parker at the time. And because I was, you know, everything was great. Got to do a new one for Chris.
Yeah.
This is what it looked like. But then things got a little weird. I'd heard with sports marketing, maybe it won't be, you know, maybe he's going to go somewhere else, whatever, you know, but I'm still, you know, going forward. And things broke down with sports marketing. He ends up leaving Nike. Again, everybody still loves the shoes. So what are we going to do with it? Well, we need a new shoe for Barkley because I think he had like in his contract, you know, a certain number of signature shoes or one signature shoe every year. So we had to hold up on the contract, I think, but, you know, good chance. And so we're like, that'd be cool. And we use the this and that, you know, like, and Barkley loves that technology and Barkley doesn't, he didn't really necessarily care.
Yeah, he wouldn't know the difference, right?
The shoes, but like Chris Webber was the GOAT of running basketball. Like that shoe was designed for like running the court.
Just that big, I remember him bringing up the ball, the high, didn't he dribble high or something?
He was the first, like if you look at a couple players now, like they can, if you literally count, like if they get in full stride,
by
the four, maybe five steps to the paint.
Yeah.
I mean, insane. So he is it.
Yeah.
So that's why I designed it like that with the wind and everything, the air tunnel and blah, 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 like it's all in the Instagram. And so when it's given to Barkley, I'm like,
not the best.
He's not the runner,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Not the perfect fit. Yeah. I mean, I like Charles. He's great, but he's more of a banger.
You know?
So Joe, back to your question about does that bug me? I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, it does because form and function, right? Like I designed it with an intent,
right?
And that's what you know. It wasn't designed for Charles, so. It's not even designed for the type of game Charles plays.
Yeah.
But, you know, businesses, decisions are made. And
is there ever like a worry then if you're designing a shoe that's not made for the person that's going to be playing in it per se, right? That, you know, like that the function of it's not going to work and then their on-court performance is going to suffer or maybe they get injured in the
shoe. Are you asking me or me as like of the industry?
I mean, I guess your view on in general.
Absolutely. But what bothered me at times in certain situations at Nike when people would think of some of those athletes like LeBron and Serena, and Ndamukong Suh is another one. Maybe not, LeBron later on because I mean, he kept on putting on weight and kept on getting faster and kept on getting stronger. Like, you know, separating himself from everyone else. But for sure, Serena and Ndamukong Suh, some people at Nike would see them as one in a million. Like, just let's get a shoe for them that works for them, and we'll figure out the business, you know, with something else. And I'm like, I don't.
It doesn't work like that.
I've been working with them for a little while, and their insights are, I mean, not just spot on, but there's something about them as a person and how they, you know, work, and how they were like so insightful. And that was the other thing about when I worked with Serena, being told that she doesn't really, you know, get into it that much. I mean, I helped her get into it.
Yeah.
And she loved it. And she was an amazing person to work with, collaborator, and started questioning things. And so to work with somebody and then that be shifted over to somebody else, like a finished product, it just doesn't line up. It bugs me because that's the intent. I look at them as like they represent one of a million. They are one of a million that they just represent, that population. And so I like working with the sharpest tips of the spear that represent a broader population.
Yeah.
And I think again, that's why I think Nike is so good, because their sports marketing they look for those, at least the sports marketing people that I worked with, were very good at finding those athletes that represented a much broader population.
I think one of the most interesting things in talking to you and looking at your work is understanding how a designer has to fit into a business and has to meet the business needs of Nike. And sometimes in your posts, you talk about having to consider a price on a shoe. Like, how hard is that as a person who's so creatively focused to fit your work into those molds?
That's super nice of you for like reading between those lines. Thank you. Because I mean, as an industrial designer, that's what we're taught. Like, you have briefs, you have constraints that you have to not just work, you have to work within, but I mean, it should be fun. Like, that's, I like, you can create a box for me to work within. It doesn't matter how big or small. It's
still fun for you, even with the box.
100%.
Yeah.
I actually don't like those blue sky, like, oh, it could be anything. You're like,
what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then it's, exactly. Then it becomes more fashion. It becomes a piece of art, which is cool. That's not me. I'm into problem solving and helping inspire more people to play the game and then play at their highest level. And so people, I tended to have more closer friends, and still do. The friends that I've am still friends with outside of Nike are on the business side, on the marketing side, which is super interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that.
Yeah.
I would think it would be the more creatively minded people.
Yeah.
Marketing.
That's interesting. Just because they're business, they're not creatively minded. Did you guys catch that one?
A little bit. I was like, you know, marketing.
Okay, marketing. Sure. I want to give props to the people who make the shoes, not the people who tell the people how people made the shoes. You know what I mean?
I guess that's what, again, back to Nike, the 10 years in basketball, like Mark Parker would, I wouldn't care. Like, just community, like, help me understand. Like, I'm pulling ideas from everywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't care where they come from. Mm. Like, if you have a good idea, like, literally, if I was working on a shoe right now, which I actually have one in here, I could.
Yeah.
And if you guys were like, oh, have you ever thought about this or what's that? I'm not sure I would have done that. Like, I'd have been, interesting. I might now take that nugget and use it for something else. And that's why we came to big markets and put shoes in front of people, and just to not to literally like go back home, which some people do, go back and like, oh, somebody said this about the shoe, we got to change it. No, there's one person. But you have to, I look at, right now in the world, there's too much data and everybody's acting on the data.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not enough of that emotional experience that drives decisions. And I think when you're the best companies, the sharpest minds, the most innovative people, and I think what built Nike was, and Phil was this person who would take in all the data and then go out and have experiences. Like you would flip on the, flip, and I even did that, you'd flip on the TV. Dang, I just dated myself so heavily.
Big, heavy switch on
that. Yeah, exactly. CRT. Flip on, but when you turned it on, you'd see eventually at the Masters. Like you might have to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Eventually you'd see him in the crowd. He'd be somewhere.
Big Oakley shades on.
Right?
All black.
And that's he was out there in sport. Like you couldn't pull him out of it. But he's also taken in a ton of data of, you know, how are things selling? How are the business numbers? All that stuff. And he would use those two things to combine into his gut instinct. And he would always tell you to work off make decisions through your gut, but they have to be informed by your brain and your heart, right? If they're not, if you have an imbalance of that, then your gut instinct is probably gonna be a little bit off.
So do you think Nike now is like, we've talked about it on here plenty of times, is almost like too informed by the algorithm and the data rather than
everybody is.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, you guys can ask me any question you want about Nike, but I'm never going to put my thumb on, you know, Nike's doing this or Nike's doing that. Like everybody is.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do as a company, the worst thing you guys could do, which, and I think there's been some people in media, right? Where they, as soon as they shift, as soon as someone, either they do it on themselves or someone inspires them or pushes them to do it, and shift your focus from the people to the profit, then that's the beginning. That's the start of your death.
Yeah.
100%. You can even, it's even in Phil's book. Like sometimes I'm like, are they reading the book?
You got to read the book.
Yeah. Like Cliff Note version.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I think he says it in there somewhere. It's like the day you worry about the business is the day you will need to start worrying about the business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When he came up with it, I was in the Stanford Center. You've been there. Yep. You guys all, you've been there, like the auditorium in Nike. And it was an all company meeting, and Phil came in to apologize for what was going on. Like tears. Like, I mean, he spoke for maybe 5 minutes.
What was he apologizing for?
The state of the company, it was a downturn. It was a little blip in the, you know, in the trajectory of Nike. And it was because the company was looking at the wrong things. And he gave his speech and started to walk off, and he stopped himself in his own tracks. And he turns and he looks at the audience and he said, all we need to do, in some not perfect exact words, but we just need to continue listening to the voice of the athlete. Mm. If we continue to listen to the voice of the athlete, we can never go wrong.
Yeah.
Walks off. And now there's like, or was in innovation, you know, big letters
on a plaque.
Cool. Yeah. Listen to the voice of the athlete.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, God, thank God. Like that is industrial design process. Again, if you have a $1 billion client that wants a one of one, or you're doing it for a population of a billion, it's the process. You got to listen to the population you're trying to serve. The day you start shifting and start serving Wall Street or your investors or someone else for the wrong reasons, and you know, you may continue to hit some trends and some fads and whatnot, but it's the beginning of the end, you know?
You said earlier that if we wanted to, we could give you feedback on a shoe that you have right here. Mm. And I think you said you do have a shoe, so let's see it.
Interesting.
Bring the bag out.
Well, I did. So this was actually from an event that I did that's actually started here in New York at the New York Nike Town. We did an event of an athlete, Jason Lester, from Nike Town, New York, to 39, I think, stores across the country, and finished at Eugene for the Olympic trials. He ran and biked and stopped at all the 39 stores and talk about better world. And so this was actually a bag made from the banners from inside the stores.
Oh wow,
that's awesome.
So it's super cool. This is a shoe that it's now leaking a bit out. This was a rougher earlier sample, but it's pretty much done.
This is a basketball shoe?
Yeah, so I've been working with this amazing brand out of China called EQLZ, and the guys that the founder, they're amazing. If you listen to those guys, you would think you were talking to the basketball team in the 80s and 90s at Nike. Like they're just building their brand to grow the culture of the game, and the culture of the game over in China is insane. It's amazing. And so, yeah, so they knew they needed to get a game level product. And this is wear testing as good, if not better than anything else in the market with big time players.
I know you also have strong feelings about the future of footwear. Where do you think we're going? Or is footwear the term that you don't
use? Thank you for asking it, because that's a good transition with this. Is I have this fascination about socks, like how our footwear should be feeling like a sock that you can perform in the environment that it needs to perform in. So in this case, a basketball shoe that feels like a sock, fits like a sock, slip it on like a sock, but it enables you, it now transforms you into having a foot, an extension of your body that can play the game of basketball.
Right.
Does that make sense? So
I mean, so I'm not a basketball player, but yes.
What is your sport?
A runner, if anything.
A runner. Yeah. So imagine, actually, On just did. Do you see the marathon shoe that?
Yeah, just won the marathon, right? The women's in Boston.
The laceless one.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Super interesting.
I might have to get some Ons.
So speaking of the sock, right? Like, why can't you have a sock? By now, it's 2024. I mean, seriously, we don't have the sock racer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was the last laceless?
I know. Why do we still have laces on our shoes, Aaron?
Because they work, right? But that's my point.
Like, yeah.
This is called the 247, so 24/7. Mm-hmm. We're working on one called the 295 for it's the weight of a basketball, and then also we want to make under 295 for the shoe, and we're going after laceless. And I'm like, we've done, you know, Audi did the laceless cleat, still selling it. Now laceless running. Like, yeah, why are we still? Gotta be able to do it.
Do you ever feel like, though, because I feel like there was that moment within sneakers where the, like, sock thing became, like, everything to all the brands, like 2015, 2016, and then consumers kind of got tired of it, and then it went back to, like, chunky shoes.
Knitting.
Peak knit footwear.
Well, that's what, so that's another, yeah, great question. So that's what we were trying to do with this is take, like, I'm a big believer in nostalgia. So especially for a new brand, like, how do you get people to notice? You got to pull out some nostalgic threads from culture,
right?
So from sneaker culture, for performance culture, and how do you weave those together to create something new? And so this was taking some of that knitting, some of that sock-like fit and feel. This is Leatherand. It feels amazing, contours to your foot. And then it's got a supercritical foam bottom. Didn't necessarily want to do a full knitted upper. So I'm just trying to take bits and pieces. I've been at it for 30 years. So I'm trying to take the best of the best and put it together and to create something that's never been done before. I was actually given that, I took it as a compliment. I don't know if the person was, when I was in basketball, I think it was, maybe even after that, that I had this way of taking a lot of things that had been done and putting them together to create something new.
Yeah.
And because innovation is hard. Like, that's something else we can talk about, is this thing of called innovation. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so over it. And the people saying, oh, Nike's not innovating, and, you know, On and, you know, Hoka. First of all, what is innovation? True innovation is something that's never been on the planet until that thing has been created. And then innovating, like, how do you become an innovator? So Nike is like an innovative company because they've been doing it for 50 years. True innovation. I mean, on and
do you think innovation is lacking in general in the sneaker design space right now?
I think it's lacking in general in the space of sport, but there's going to be a time, and we've touched upon it a couple times, of when innovation starts breaking the rules of, and I call it augmentation, like, what point, you know, like these super, super critical, you know, super shoe, you know, marathon shoes. I mean, they're right on the edge, right? Of the governing body is saying, okay, enough is enough. Yeah.
I feel like those shoes are tough though, because it's like, and we've talked about it here, where it's like, obviously a sneaker is a piece of sports equipment, but like those cross the line where it's not even, it can't be sold to like the everyday consumer, because you just can't walk down the street with this shoe with a carbon plate that has
100%. Like, so that's why, so the other thing I wanted to bring up is that, like, in where there's a lack of innovation of, like, you know, I don't even like calling them shoes or footwear, like, extensions of the body. Serena ended up telling me that's what she felt like when she was playing in the shoe, the flare that we did for her. Shaquem Griffin, I did a cleat for him that he said he finally, you know, for the first time ever, forgot that he was wearing a cleat. And that's what I'm trying to get to.
The ultimate compliment.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So what is that extension of the body? So for basketball, you know, for the split second you need, you know, the high top, you know, ankle protection. How do you solve that split second problem in a shoe that people want to wear around all day, every day?
Yeah.
And in this company, that one of the companies that I've been working with, Better Guards. So I don't even like calling this an ankle brace. I like calling it an adaptive, reactive ankle sleeve. So this is, so you guys have probably seen other, like, the most common ankle brace is like all the lace looks like a corset for your for your foot, which basically it is. So it limits all the mobility, right? This is like an ankle, so it feels like a compressive sock when you slip it on, and then you engage the straps, you just set it in, and you have full mobility until that split second. This, the little mechanism, you can pass it around, but there's a little mechanism in there that
that I'm worried, if you pull it, I don't want to pull too hard, Aaron.
What's that?
I don't want to pull too hard.
No, you want to. Like, but you got to pull it fast too. So, you can't break it.
You got to pay for it.
It's being worn. This is being worn by every, at least one player on every team in the NBA now.
Really?
And globally, yeah. It started in June. They won the NBA. There's like basically a contest for outside innovation to come in and and help the NBA. And they won. They were asked to be a part of this program, and now the NBA is all over it. And it's since June. It's like the fastest adopted product in like elite performance in sport that I've ever seen. So if this is the little mechanism that's in it, and you know, you playing basketball, you know, whatever.
I love this when we get to the engineering level.
And then all of a sudden that split second lock, like full on lock. You can't, it's like a seatbelt for your foot. Like you drive around now, I mean, we're supposed to, but I think most people do. Like you just put the seatbelt on.
I wear my seatbelt.
Yes.
Right. I think most people do. Yeah. I think kids, like everything's now become a part of culture.
I had a tragic moment in Hawaii, and ever since then, we put the seatbelt on.
Yes. Put the seatbelt on. You hope you go through life without ever getting an accident, that seatbelt's never used.
Yes.
But of course, you still use it. So how can we get to a point where every athlete's wearing this because it's part of the modern uniform of sport?
Yeah.
But they never put it
on by default.
If your livelihood or your high school, you know, it's your junior year, you got to put stat, like you're looking to go to the next level, like what, you're not going to risk, you know, that split second and ending your high school career, and you're not going to play the next level when you could just slip something like this on. And this is version one, like you should see version four. It's insane.
Yeah.
And so if we can get to that place, how does this then start working out? Like, what does that relationship
working in
look
concert.
Like?
Yeah.
I don't know. What, how does this, you know, this work in with.
Did you design the socks too?
Oh, funny. No, this is another. I did not mean
I
to
feel
do
like you
this.
Got a whole system going on.
Oh, that's
on.
So funny. Everything's got a story.
Yeah.
No, these are super cool Addict. It's a pickleball brand and super cool. You guys got to look them up.
Are you a pickleball guy?
Nike's making pickleball shoes now. That's funny.
But these guys are building the community.
Yeah.
If you talk to these guys, this is where I'm like, I just want to stay on my purpose path of like, bringing people together, being a part of a community, building that up, and then having pieces that represent our community that other people can buy into, figuratively or literally. So Addict, pickleball brand out of Florida, these two guys, Bitcoin, like, I don't know how much money they got.
Millionaires,
who knows?
Yeah.
But they ended up selling out and going on this binge, I think quite literally, and pickleball, literally, they say it saved their life.
Wow.
Because they turned their binge into pickleball, and then they started this brand. They fell in love with the community and people
watch
playing
this movie,
it.
These guys,
they're super cool.
Yeah.
They're now signing some of the best players in the game because they're building this community, this culture.
Yeah.
Who happened to sell socks?
Yeah, I love to hear you talk about community too, because one thing I so appreciate about your contributions is you're very public with them. And so much of what we see at big sneaker brands like Nike is this monolithic structure that people on the outside don't necessarily have a view into, and it looks quite opaque. But it's been so cool to see you share those stories on social media and, you know, circulate them with guys who we all follow, like Good Burger or Tom at ISS. And
I was with Tom yesterday.
Yeah, I just so appreciate that. You know, being able to hear how
that's
these
so
things
cool.
really happen from the outside. It's
something
really special.
No, the kicks thing was amazing. I have Armando. There's a guy that wrote me a letter when he was a little kid. I have not met him, not done Zoom with him, traded a few handwritten letters. Now now he's DMing me and texting me. He may fly up to Portland in like next month. I might meet him for the first time. He's got a full family now. Coolest guy ever. Like, I can't wait. Like, that's what it's all about. Like, how do we stoke each other's fire to keep doing what, you know, just like, keep doing good things.
Yeah, and giving back to people. Like, I've heard that from young people at Nike too, or younger people who said that there were projects that they were working on and you didn't necessarily have to give your time to it, but you were there for them in order to help things along and contribute in a way as an elder statesman.
Yeah. I mean, this is correct. So I'll do this right now. Where's the kit? Which one's one of these? So I would do presentations at Nike or other places with, you know, hundreds of people. And I'd put on the, you know, my last slide, hey, here's my name. Here's my, you know, email at the time, and afterwards people like, you're crazy, like you're gonna get like inundated with, like, I don't know, maybe 20 people. I answer all of them.
Yeah.
And then I
you
get
said
five.
You believe in the cold email and the cold call.
Yeah, I gotta walk the talk, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. so I let everybody, so my Instagram, which I don't know if you guys will put up or not, but you know.
tell because you share so many stories and there's a wealth of knowledge on that, definitely give them the handle.
So it's at aaron.ac.cooper. That's the handle.
Yes.
And so I right now I'm just posting once a week. I had a much bigger vision. It was going to be Sneaker Story Sunday, Wellness Wednesday, and Firebird Friday, and mixed in with Family Friday.
Okay. Taco Tuesdays, any room? Or
I do like a taco. That'd okay. be good. Yeah, I could do that. I mean, it is an effort to do one post a week, but because I want to do it sincerely, right?
Yeah.
And so with this, I try to answer all of the, I have great engagement. I had the one that Jock Slade did with the closet.
Yeah. Love that. That
blew, tour of your closet. Blew yeah. up
like 2.4 million.
Love that.
I had a couple people reach out to my kids. They're like, is this your dad?
It's a great series.
That might be too far. I'm yeah. like, no, you don't need to know about
it
that.
It's funny. But yeah, so there are a lot of, you know, feedback in that one. But I try to answer all of them. And even if they feel like a troll, but I only have had like a couple out of the thousands now. And one of them, his comment was 25 years at Nike and this guy's collection is trash. and I was like, should I? I've been told don't.
Right.
I yeah. gotta. I can't right? help myself.
We've all been there.
So I do it. And I'm like, hey, look, you got to understand this isn't, I wasn't in it for that. And I've never been in it for that. And I still am not in it for that. And my collection are the stories
yeah.
behind the shoes. So there I did go. Something on that on one of my posts. And so I was, since you guys were, I thought you guys might ask me what my favorite shoe is. And so I brought one of my favorite shoes.
We got to get it before we get out of here.
So it's this one. Do you know why?
Tell us.
There's only one reason.
Did you made it?
Nope. Has nothing to do with the way it looks for me. Or the way it performs for me. That's a little bit of a hint.
I wish I had a good guess for you.
There's man. Even a move insole on the inside.
Could tell us? Tell we need to know.
Because my youngest daughter kicked ass in that shoe.
Yeah,
playing volleyball.
Yeah, beautiful.
She also got asked to her senior homecoming in that shoe.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
And I'm like,
no better story than that.
Coming, yeah. Like I don't have a collection. I'm like, I wore these because I like them. Everybody's like, oh, what are you gonna wear? I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And they're like, oh, you got to bring a shoe too. I'm like, what's your favorite shoe? I'm like, I don't know. I go into my closet, my trash collection. I'm like, they don't want to see any of these. And so like, what shoe would I bring? Like what in my whole house, my favorite pair of shoes, you know, that was one of them.
What's the model?
And that's why. I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
One thing this week, we just ranked the best signature sneakers on Complex. We ranked Anthony Edwards Adidas number one.
Did you see me at Adidas yesterday trying them on?
No, but I was interested to see, you know, with so much history, like, you go.
I don't like disrespecting, but like, so it's great. By the way, I also went to, I make a point every time I come to New York to go to Paragon Sports.
Okay.
Yeah. Great store.
Nice. Restore it's the feeling a little classic. Bit, right?
Yes.
You know, you had the boombox on the... Oh, on the sidewalk and Paragon so Sports. The there you go. Yeah,
this trip has been amazing. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to connect with Bobito, but we're still going to talk with him. But because I would always connect with Bobito. Mm. I love going to Paragon because they show you what's happening in the city, and it's all like tennis and pickleball. Like it was like the thing. Basketball,
not so much.
10 styles, 15 SKUs on 3 shelves down. Here.
Yeah, tucked away.
It's definitely I walked to buy them three times before somebody told me, like, oh, the basketball shoes are over there. I'm like, where? They're like, down there. I'm like,
that hurt your heart?
Yeah. There they are. It was weird.
Yeah.
And so to the AE, I love the fact that they're, I love 50-yard reads. Like, I love, like, there's got to be something that attracts you from a 50-yard read, right?
That's cool.
It used to be like, walk down the, I'm going to date myself again, walk down the mall. And
the
from,
mall. What is that?
You ever hear? Hold on. Did you ever hear?
No, I love that term.
Yeah, I've definitely using that. I'll credit you. 50-yard read.
Okay,
like that.
Don't credit Tracy Teague.
Tracy Teague.
Who you need on the show?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
for
Tracy's
sure.
out there.
It's a fire expression.
So think about Dion.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 50-yard read. That was his all of the stuff that Tracy did for cleated, the barrage.
Yep.
Right with the now it's kind of a tennis shoe, right? That Jeff was wearing, I think. So 50-yard read. I've always been about that, especially I grew up tiny little black and white TV.
Mm-hmm. Switch it on.
Even with the high def, like you watch a game, you can't point out any other shoe except a Kobe maybe, because everyone knows him so well. But if even some of the Kobes, if they were to come out right now, it would mix in with everything else.
Yeah.
The AE and also Harden shoe.
Yeah.
50-yard
read.
Nice.
I love that.
So I'm drawn in, you know. I've always wanted, I'd never held it in my hand. Thought it was a little interesting that you only saw one or two in the entire March Madness.
Mm.
Usually, if they're that great of a basketball shoe,
more people playing
in them. More people are playing in them.
Yeah.
Just saying. I'm not saying that that's the case, but so 50 yard read, it attracts you. You walk up to it, you get closer, you want to, you know, you go to pick it up. And when you pick it up, you got to be able, now your senses are, you know, kind of popping and firing and, you know, seeing details, you feel things. If there's something on the shoe that's too plasticky or too hard, or you're like, you know, you kind of back off, right? But if you pick it up and you're like going, oh, that's kind of cool. I wonder how that, you know, this is like, I wonder how that feels when I put it on. Like, hey, size 13?
Yeah.
Let me get those.
They come out, and the whole time you're like kind of going, God, I wonder what this is going to feel like. And, you know, you feel something like, that's why I did this.
Yeah.
This little blue, that's the supercritical foam on the inside. So you can actually feel it. So I, that's one of the things of like a kid, you know, or anybody that's, they're like, oh, I wonder what that would feel like.
Yeah.
So I'm, and again, so both the AE and the Harden, I'm like, there's cool little, like little finer pieces in there. And am I getting excited to put them on? I put the AE shoe on and I'm like, oh,
let down.
Didn't do it for you. Let down.
The last.
Really?
Everything starts with the last. The shape of the shoe. The last comes first.
There we go.
So it just tapers too quick in the toe. And I've been wearing Vivo's, a brand that I wear quite a bit.
Ultras, all that stuff.
Yeah, right? Ultras. I don't want to have cleat feet. Like, I'm trying to get, you know, I call them cleat feet.
Yeah.
LeBron, like, I worked with LeBron. I saw like, and there's a reason why
we're like an hour and a half in. This guy did so much more stuff. LeBron, Vomero, Nike be a part Free. Two. Can we haven't even talked about Kevin Garnett?
Oh, can we? That's
part two.
So put this on your like. See if you get any response on this. Mm-hmm. Me and KG on your shopping show.
Oh,
let's go.
Okay,
he's fine. I've yet to reconnect with him.
Okay,
and if you were to ask me my favorite from an energy standpoint, an athlete to work with. Even just collaborate, like he called me, presenting to him, I'm all over the place, right? Yeah. Back to the AE, we finished the AE. And so putting him on, I even wanted to like him. I wanted to like stand up, feel the, because he had another foam inside. Everything about him was like kind of delivered on the promise that I felt I was being given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except for the fit, they would have hurt my toes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Can't risk it.
They might fit other people really well, but I think, I have my own thoughts on the last and the shape and all of that.
Quick KG before we go. Just the best to present to? Is that what you were saying?
No. So funny story about KG. So sitting down in front of him, and I would try to get in a situation where their attention is there.
Yeah.
And again, the athletes I worked with, they always gave me their attention, which was great. And sports marketing would even say, hey, you got like 5-10 minutes, their attention is pretty short. Mm. Well, that's my job to extend it, right?
Yeah.
To get them interested. And KG never did. He was always into it. So I'm going through the story. And the boards, the 11 by 17 boards, I'm flipping through them. And usually, like, there's stuff here that you're looking at. And he's staring at me. And I'm like, so I just stop. I'm like,
everything all right?
Like, yeah, I'm like, is okay, like, is there something wrong? And he's like, and he called me Merlin. He's like, Merlin, how do you do it?
Wow.
Where do you come up with these ideas? I'm like, well, it's just like you playing basketball. Like, you play at a level that most people can't even conceive of, like, can't even imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you put in your 10,000 hours, I put in mine. Like, I don't know how I do it, and I thank you, you know, but... And he just like, man, he always kind of had that look.
It's high praise.
Right? From like, and he just turned in like, he was just like a kid. Like
high praise from someone who really cares about like everything.
Everything. Passion. He was the one before, ahead of his time, but he was form and function, art and science, performance style. Like that was all.
That Did the Merlin name stick?
He, for him, yeah. He
Nobody always, else said it.
No.
No, you try to go.
I have other names I've been called.
Gotcha.
Depending on who they're coming from.
So much history. Just scratch the surface. It's crazy as it sounds. So definitely have to invite you back. Give the Instagram one more time because I think it's very important for our viewers to check out the stories and follow along.
No, I appreciate that. So it's at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N .AC.Cooper. And please, like, DM me. And I do try to respond to everybody. It takes a while, but.
Even the trolls.
I literally, out of thousands, of DMs. I've had like two people I felt were trolling.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't relate.
They're just a sense. Well, I don't. I mean, there's just a lot of people out there, but I think in general the culture of sneakers are just cool people. I would say the trolls that are out there are just they're not into sneakers for the right reasons.
Whoa, say it again. I love that. I'm gonna use that soundbite.
Uh oh. Did I just give you the soundbite you've been looking for? Yeah. I hope it was a good one. What did I
say?
Right
at the buzzer.
Yeah.
Not in it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Oh, it was such a pleasure. Seriously, can we do it again?
Absolutely.
And
you're
gonna work the shopping.
KG.
Although I don't have 10 grand to spend on sneakers.
Barkley. Wow. KG, Barkley. We'll see. Get something going.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate
so much.
You guys. And also to your whole audience, just to really appreciate what you guys do and what you guys have done and the careers you've built for yourselves and what that means to this. And like calling it an industry, but this community.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, man.
Because it's meaningful.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again. Thanks for your time.
For sure.
All right, everyone. This has been the Complex Sneakers Show. We hope everyone has a great weekend. Please like, subscribe. We will see you next week. Our producer is Jillian Hardman Webb. Our supervising producer is David Matthews. Audio editing done by Haley Choi. Research and graphics from Sean Villavicencio. The Complex Sneakers Show is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.